This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Appreciate Courtney Banghart, who just joined us from the great state of Texas. Wes, we now go back to Indianapolis.
Yes, sir.
And part co-host of the show when he's not winning a bunch of ball games.
Yep.
He now goes to Packer and Durham and Ham. The main man for the Florida State Seminoles joins us, Leonard Hamilton. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Well, fellas, I am doing just fine. I got to live for another day. You know, we've had an exorcism. We've gotten rid of those basketball turnover demons. You know, I brought the smoke in, the candle, you know, and, you know, late about 12 o'clock midnight, you know how, you know, you swing that smoke back by, you know, and you do all the other stuff.
The holy smoke.
I think we're ready. Yeah.
Yeah, you better crank up that gospel music as loud as you can. Get those 25 turnovers a game out. And I'm going to just tell you right now, and I'm preaching to the choir here, you know better than anybody, 25 turnovers is a remedy for disaster. So hopefully that's in the rearview mirror, and you guys can get on a run here, because I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but I got you in the Final Four. I'm just going to tell you that right up front.
Well, we've had some really good games this year. No question about that. We played like we are capable at times. But we've had those moments where we have not played very well. And I think that, you know, you don't want to look in the rearview mirror. We got to look toward the future. But more than likely right now, what I'm telling our guys, we got to stay in the moment. Worry about that which we can control. We can control turnovers.
It's one of those growing points, though, isn't it, Coach, with a team? I mean, no matter how successful a program's been, there's always reminders – you can get better, right?
Well, there's no doubt about that. And that's, you have those games where you just somehow or another you scratch your head and you be trying to figure out what in the world went on. Well, hopefully we've had our last one. Let's get on to this NCAA tournament. Let's see what we can do here. Represent the good old ACC.
All right. I want to ask you a question. I know you talked to your local media the other day. And I feel like I ought to ask, are you good? You said you were banged up or bumped up a little bit. Are you questionable, probable, doubtful? Is something going on with you? You okay?
Listen, if this is the only issue I'm going to have in life, man, I'm going to have a great life. You know what I mean? You know, I've never been injured, and I ruptured my Achilles. And but, hey, listen, I'm fine. You know, I can tell you some stories about Gastonia that'll make this ruptured Achilles look like Sunday school. So we can move on past that, believe me.
You know, a man in his late 30s shouldn't have Achilles issues, Leonard. I mean, when you're in your late 30s, you're too young for that nonsense.
No, what happened was I was chasing a referee after the game the other night in the parking lot, and something happened, but he's not in good shape either, okay? I just want you to know that, all right?
Well, hey, I got good news for you. That's probably one of those six guys that you won't see in the tournament because some of those guys are already headed home, so you're going to be really safe.
Hey, here's my question, though. You like to stand a lot during the game. Does that mean Charlton Young's already lobbied for 1 minute so he can stand?
Believe me, nothing will change. You hear me? Zero.
I know that. Are you excited to be here this year, in essence, because you missed last year, and I know how much you wanted to be at this event last year? Does that regenerate itself for you?
You know, people have asked me that. You know, I try to stay in the moment. You know, last year was a necessary stoppage that we had to deal with. And the season is over. We've learned. We've grown. It's time now that we focus on that which we can control. You know, this is an exciting time in everybody's life. You know, you always want to compete and try to compete for a championship. These opportunities don't come along all the time. And we got to be focused. And we don't need no philosophical motivation. We don't need to worry about have a pity party from last year. Because, you know, this team needs to stay focused, rejuvenate themselves, and let's come in here and let's play at our very, very best, because this is it. You lose, you go home. And anyone, every year, you're going to have Cinderella stories. You're going to have Upset City going on. You know, everyone's going to be looking for an angle. You got to be focused. Everybody's going to be at their best. And this is what, why it's the greatest sporting event in the history of all sports, the NCAA tournament.
Leonard, what did you see from your players after the Georgia Tech loss? I mean, there had to be some ownership and leadership taking over up and above what you and your staff told the kids. What did you see from your team after that game?
Well, what you have to understand, Mark, is this. You, if you're a basketball coach, you're more than likely not going to go undefeated. I know that might be a surprise to you, but you're not. And what you have to do is when you play well, you can't allow yourself to get too high. And sometimes that's hard to do because human nature sometimes will not let you do that. And then you can't allow yourself to get too low when things don't go well for you. You have to learn from that and move forward. And hopefully that's what we've done.
It is interesting, and I used this with Pac earlier. The last handful of teams from the ACC that have won national championships did not win the ACC tournament. Some got to the finals, some got knocked out in the semis, that kind of deal. In fact, you knocked out Virginia in the semis in Charlotte. They went on to win the national title in Minneapolis a couple of years ago. When you look at your team, the growing of this team, what encourages you the most about this event with your current ball club?
You know, this team has had to grow and mature because we have so many moving parts. I got new guys coming to the program that I really need to contribute. You know, so I'm hoping that the seriousness, the what appears to be the importance that they understand about us having to come together mentally and emotionally as well as we do physically, that we have to really, really be on point. We don't have that's what you call a Trent Forrest or Rodas or Terrence Mann, guys that were just natural in certain areas where they contribute with your team. So what we have to do as a collective group, we have to stay tighter together. And that's every team takes on a different personality. And I think that's one reason why at times we have been a little inconsistent. But I think we realize that now. And now I think we know what we have to do in order to be successful.
Speaking of being successful, it starts with a game against UNC Greensboro. What do you see from those guys?
Well, they play a similar game to us in a lot of ways. They pick up full court. They pressure you. They're deep. They play a lot of different players. They play very hard. They've been very successful. They're confident. And, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, they're here because they want to win this tournament, you know. And I've been in that position many, many times, you know. So we know we're going to get their best shot. But one thing about being in the NCAA tournament, if you don't come with your best, something bad can happen to you, and that's exactly the way we understand it.
Coach, it's also interesting. You look at the Spartans. They've got a guard in Isaiah Miller. I think that guy could play anywhere.
Well, he's athletic. He's quick. He scores a variety of ways. He creates not only for himself but for his teammates, and they feed off of him. There's no doubt about that. But every team here, you almost can say the same thing about. Every team is loaded with talent. Everyone has a superstar player, else they wouldn't be here. Everybody's well coached, and they play hard. So you almost can say that across the board. There are no weak teams here. Everybody's here with one thing in mind. Let's go win this tournament. That's what makes it, once again, it's going to be so exciting. You can see the passion in their face. You can just see them when they're walking around. They look at you saying, hey, we're here, and we want to do some damage. And we have to have that same posture, and then we got to put it on steroids.
Coach, it's been interesting to hear coaches and players talk about how they've been able to kill time. Everybody's being quarantined. Everybody's isolated, staring at the same four walls. You get a chance to do a little practice here or there. So what have you done to make life a little more manageable for your team this week away from basketball?
Well, understand this. We were a little beat up toward the end of the season, you know. You guys probably know MJ Walker didn't even practice prior to the Pittsburgh game. He only played in games. And the same thing, Scotty Barnes had the ankle turn and a little strain, and so did Balsa and also with Malik Osmond. And we kind of limped into the last three or four or five games that we played. people playing but not practicing. And at Pittsburgh, I didn't even know that Scotty or MJ were going to play until game time. I mean, so we went through a lot. And we've used this time, hopefully, to heal up a little bit, get rid of some of those, the tendonitis, the turn ankles, the little strain here. But our guys, you know, we've watched film. We've had some little meetings. We lifted some weights. You know, we've had some shooting. You know, I was really surprised the other night when we had a late night, what I thought was going to be a 30-minute shooting session, turned into an hour and a half competitive shooting drills that the guys really, really needed to get out of the hotel, get into an environment where they could kind of laugh and joke and kid and compete. And that this showed that, you know, these guys, sometimes you got to be understanding of the fact that they used to being out and about and being, you know, out doing things. And as coaches, we know, we think that, you know, you can just stay focused, but these guys need a little outlet. So I think it's going to be a lot of pent-up energy that you're going to see on display from all the teams when they start playing in this NCAA tournament. It's almost going to be like it's going to be a breath of fresh air for those guys to get out and compete against each other.
Pac, you know why it's important we always have Coach Ham on here as our co-host from time to time is we get the insight of it's more important to have the players healthy regardless of the coach's physical status for the ball game, right?
No doubt about that. Hey, listen, you know, hey. Durham, I'm going to tell you, you know, I've gone through a lot, and a little injury is the least of my problems.
I know. Hey, I did want to follow this up. I thought about this yesterday, actually. You started going to this event when you were an assistant coach. A few years ago. Just a few.
At Austin Peay State University. That's where my first tournament. We played against Jacksonville in Dayton, Ohio, my first trip the year after they had gone to the Final Four.
Hmm. Ooh, sorry. How'd that go?
Well, we won, obviously. You know, we had a kid named Fly Williams. We had a kid named Fly Williams that was a freshman that averaged 27 points and 9 rebounds a game. And then that's how I met Coach Hall. The game, we went to Nashville to play in the NCAA tournament, and we played to an overtime game that was 106-103, Austin Peay versus the University of Kentucky. And that's how I met Coach Hall, ironically.
Rest is history.
Hmm. How much has the event changed?
Well, obviously, this is not anything like what you have experienced in the past. Everyone is the same plays. You know. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying. The NCAA really needs some props for this. They need to be given some sugar. They need to be given some praise for coming up with this philosophy to make this thing work. And they have taken unbelievable precautions. You know how challenging it is to manage this event, and things are not perfect. They're not going always on time, but to put this event on with the protocols, the safety rules and regulations that they govern this thing by, feeding all the guys and creating some type of safe environment for everyone. This is just about as well run as it can be when you're doing it for the first time, and you don't have fans. You got everybody in the NCAA bubble. This is well organized, and I tell our guys, whatever's not going perfect, don't worry about it. Just work through it, because some team is going to have a matured approach by being here and understanding this is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be as normal. Let's go in here and be mature enough, make whatever mental and emotional adjustments that we can to see, can we go win this championship? Someone's going to do that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We started Texas, we go up to Indy, now we're going to go back down to Texas, see what's going on. Well, the guy got the clean shave this morning. It doesn't matter how hot it gets in Texas, it won't bother this guy at all.
He don't care.
Time for the cue on ACC Network. What's up, Coach? Good morning.
Hey, slow motion out here, man. Everything's slow motion. Just waiting.
That's what I like. You know what? I know you got the clean shave. I just said, I don't care how hot it gets in Texas, you will be prepared. Have no doubt about that.
That's first thing you got to do. First thing. Get your day going. I see Coach Ham had the same barber this morning, too. Coach Ham had the shiny going on this morning, too. So we got the same barber.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I have a feeling that you've got two good Achilles. He only has one. So you got an advantage there.
Man, I always tell people that's one thing that I fear. So I don't chase loose balls in practices. If the ball comes to me, if it's outside of my reach, I just let it go. I ain't playing around with that Achilles.
That's right. I like that approach. That's the way to do it. Life's too short. 100% right.
No question.
So how is San Antonio? Bring us up to speed here. Your travel aspect. We've talked to a lot of different people about the 48-hour deal, the two-day, the testing, that kind of thing to get acclimated to the area. How's that been for you and your team?
It's been so smooth. It's like you get off your plane, you get on your bus, get to your hotel, they got your food ready. You sit down for a minute, you go test, you come back to your room. There's a great basketball on last night, and it's been great. Our hotel's right off the water off the walk. They had a little party last night for St. Patrick's Day. I was dancing on my balcony, so I had a great night, man.
Listen, when you can dance on your balcony, life is okay. I don't care what town you're in. Right. When you're dancing on your balcony, life is all right. I know that's true.
This quarantine not gonna hold me down. I'm gonna get after it.
I love it. That's the attitude. All right, so we're going to get serious, though. How's Tiana? She good to go?
She's great, man. She's been chomping at the bit. You know, obviously, when you get through the tournament, you try to give your players some time off and let them rest a little bit. And we did that, but Tiana was really working hard. She's playing one-on-one with our players, playing some two-on-two. We didn't get up and down much this week. We was trying to get our legs back, but she looks fantastic. Like I said, she could have played probably in the back end of the ACC tournament, but we were just trying to make sure she can get to this one, and she's ready to go.
Quentin, in this event, I mean, this is 8 straight trips now for you. There is a sense of normalcy, even though they didn't have one last year. There is a sense of, hey, we've kind of been through this routine. How much does that count in a unique event like this year?
It definitely counts because I told one of our media outlets on Selection Monday, I said, I just want to be team number 64. I didn't care. I just wanted to get in. And at this point of the season, your kids quarantined, they've tested, they've sacrificed everything. And for us, this is the payment, being at the NCAA tournament.
Heard a lot of coaches talk this week, both men and women coaches. Talking about, hey, when we finally get to the games, the kids are just ready to play. I mean, everybody's going through all these protocols and isolation and having to go jump through hoops just to get in a position to play. Q, do you worry about everybody being amped up too much to play? I mean, and if so, how do you just say, hey, guys, take a deep breath. We're just out here to play basketball. How do you do that as a coach?
Man, you guys must not watch any of our first quarters, because we're awful when the game starts. It's horrendous. we get down 15, then we say, okay, now let's get ready to play. So I know they want to be there, man, but sometimes I question for like those first 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, all right, y'all, let's go. We're here now. but they work hard, man. They've sacrificed everything, and they get to the games, they know what time it is, but they know it's go time, and they're excited to be on the court and playing and competing.
All right. So, Quentin, what do you learn about South Dakota State, and how much did you know going in, and how much have you had to learn in the last 48 hours, if you will, about a team that obviously you see Sunday afternoon?
Well, it's been easy for us because they beat us 2 years ago at our place to go to the Sweet 16. So our last NCAA tournament game was against South Dakota State. So we know a lot about them. We know they can beat you. We know that for a fact. And they can do a really good job. They're well coached. They have a lot of balance. And, you know, styles make games. And the last time we played them, their style made the game. So hopefully we got to come back and do something different to make sure we can force our tempo and force our pace. Sorry. But they're a very good basketball team. And we're just excited. Maybe playing a great team.
Well, 2 years ago, Camilo Cardoza was not on your team. I find anybody to you know, dismiss the impact she's had as a freshman. Have you talked to her about what this event is like? She doesn't seem to be fazed by much. She just goes and plays, though, it seems.
You know, we haven't really talked about this yet because, obviously, we want to get here first. And that was, we had to go with seven straight days of negative tests. And yesterday we didn't do much. We got here and kind of got acclimated, but it'll start getting go time this afternoon when we get into practice. She understands what's at stake. She's played in a lot of basketball games, and she's a dominant force down there. We just do what we do. Send everything downhill until you make a shot, because she's gonna be standing there waiting for you.
Coach, you were talking about styles a second ago. With that said, being in the great state of Texas, what's the style profile for you personally? Because you know you always make a fashion statement.
Yeah.
If we were suited and booted, I would definitely wear some of them cowboy boots. Give me some alligator, crocodile cowboy boots. I fit right in there. I could do that all day long. I like that.
Well, listen, you're in the right place for it, my man. That works in San Antonio. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, it definitely. And I can tell you something right now. One thing about being in Texas – you want some good food, you want some good clothes, you can get it here.
Oh, yeah. No question about that.
All right. Well, let's get right to the chase. Did you bring the velour to San Antonio? Is the velour in the bag?
Never leave home without it, just in case. Just in case you got to pull it out. I got three of them, man. I got three of them. I can wear those all the way to the – I can wear them all the way to the Elite Eight if I want to. You never know. Did I – You get there, you're superstitious. You don't wash them. You just recycle them. You shake them out and hang them up.
Hey, Coach, let me tell you something. You bring out one of those three, they'll give you your own boat on the Riverwalk. I'm telling you, you'll have your own boat going down there.
I'm ready to go. Let's get on the boat. I'm ready to go.
Oh, man.
I love it. Love it.
Unbelievable. Tell you what. Appreciate the time as always. Wish you all the luck. You know that. You're great to visit with us, and great to see you guys and this league really back on this stage, Q. This speaks not only your program, but it speaks to the other seven schools, too, that the ACC had eight schools make this run.
Absolutely. I don't understand why people keep forgetting that. You go through all these shows, they talk about all these other leagues. We got eight. How many do you have?
That's right.
Right.
Exactly right.
Good point. Stay safe, my man.
You guys do the same. Good to see you.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network.
I just thought of something, by the way.
Stop. Hold on. Breaking news.
Random thought just came running into my head.
Watch out.
Random thought. I know. Random thought. All right. So we've had Dan Bonner, who's in isolation because of his work for CBS. We've had Courtney Banghart, who clearly is in isolation because, you know, that's what you have to do when you're a teen. Leonard Hamilton, who can't move around very well but is doing okay, and he's obviously forced to be in the hotel. Quentin Hillsman, again, forced to be in the hotel. And now Kenny Brooks from Virginia Tech is going to join us. And I'm going to ask Kenny Brooks, because he's such a good friend of us on this show, this question, Pack, as we welcome Kenny Brooks from the deck, the outdoor balcony of his hotel in San Antonio, which is a lot better, no offense to these previous guests, and looking at their curtains, right, Packer?
That's true. Okay. Even though Q was just talking about dancing on the balcony, so you better be careful out there, Kenny.
Yeah. Quentin was talking about dancing on balconies. All right, but Kenny, here's my question. Are we able to get all you people on the show today in part and parcel because you have nothing else to do and you can't tell us no?
Well, that's a good question. Yes, because we our minds our minds will probably be going a lot of different. And with this isolation, it's forcing us to sit back a little bit and do other things. You know, read books. You know, watch Netflix a little bit amongst watching film.
How cool is it, though, that both the men and women's basketball programs, for the first time since Dirt, are playing in the NCAA tournament? That's quite an accomplishment.
I tell you what, it's awesome. Mike Young is awesome. The way that he's come in and just helped make it Virginia Tech basketball. You know, it's not Virginia Tech women's basketball, not Virginia Tech men's basketball. The way he shares in our successes and we share in their successes, it really is one big family. You know, he roots for our team. He knows our kids' names. He knows what plays we're running. And just it's truly, when they got their name called, we were just as excited as when we got our name called.
Yeah, I know when we talked to you a year ago, you were hopeful that an NCAA tournament bid would happen. Then the whole deal got run. This is a long road back for this program. But you came in and attacked the idea that this team and this school had to go back to postseason. So how rewarding was Monday night for you?
I tell you what, it was a blur, a blackout when they called our name. I don't know if you guys saw the selection show, but we were one of the last names called. So I did get a little nervous. Yeah. So I had a lot of emotions that just ran through me that 2-3 seconds when our name popped up. But a lot of it had to do with the team from last year. You know, we fought for respectability in this league. We fought to get back to this point. And now to hear our name called when we were just so close last year, we did the work last year. We just didn't get to go out and prove ourselves. But this group, you know, they never said they were playing for the team last year. But, you know, you can see the emotion. They really thanked the seniors from last year. And to be able to go out and play this year is just a dream come true, because there's no guarantees. In our league, it's the best league in the country. Every year is going to have different, you know, challenges. And for us to be able to do it in consecutive years, it just goes to show you the resiliency of our kids and where we've come as a program.
Coach, with the 1-2 combination of Shepherd and Kittley, though, you know what? You got a chance to make some noise. You're playing your best basketball late, and you got two folks on that roster that can say, hey, get on my shoulders, let's go.
Two of the best in the country. And those young kids, the way they play off of each other, the way they play for each other, is a coach's dream. And we had a situation where we were at Clemson, and we had an offensive possession, and they swung the ball around, and the ball got swung to Asia Shepherd, and she was wide open, and she didn't shoot it, and she threw the ball inside to Liz, and Liz got fouled. And when Liz was shooting the free throw, Asia came over to me, and I said, why didn't you shoot that? She said, because Liz hadn't gotten a touch in a while, and he had to get her a touch. And right then and there, I knew, you know, the unselfishness of this group. Liz would do the exact same thing for Asia Shepherd, even though they're like, you know, a point away from being the leading scorer for each of them. But they just, they're so unselfish. They don't care who gets the glory. They just want to win basketball games. And that's what really carried us through January and February.
All right. So as you take this next step with this team, right? And you know what I mean when I say you take a little bit of last year and a lot of this year to this moment. So what do you tell this group? I mean, you don't want the, hey, we're just happy to get here type mentality, right? Because that does affect some teams at this event.
You know what? I don't think it affects this group. They're so competitive. They want to win, win, win. And, you know, when you play against the best all year long, and, you know, we never cowered down to the challenge. It didn't matter if we were playing NC State or Louisville or Georgia Tech. Whoever it was, we felt like we could win the basketball game because we felt like we're talented enough, and we started to put that together. You know, during January when we were losing those close games, I told them, you're good. You're as good as anyone. You're just not good enough right now. And they took that mentality to understand that if we just do the little things, we can play with anyone. We can beat anyone. And I think that will carry over into this tournament because, as you guys mentioned, I don't know about a better 1-2 punch in the country. And, you know, if you want to double inside, we have shooting on the outside. If you want to take away our presence on the outside, you know, if you go one-on-one with Liz Kittley, I don't think you're going to be able to have a lot of success. So we feel like, and especially when you get into the tournament time, benches get shorter, game slows down a little bit, and it becomes more about efficiency on the offensive end. I think that's what we can do.
Coach, it's always fun to watch a team learn to win. And you can preach to the high heavens, but – It doesn't happen until you knock the door down. And I know we discussed that win against NC State was really the one that kind of was the catalyst to this great run. But isn't that the best feeling, though, in the world as a coach to watch kids develop and then get that confidence that, hey, you know what? Yeah, we do belong. You know what? We can play with anybody in the country.
No question. You know, a lot of people think about it's just the wins. A lot of times it's how you learn how to win. And these young ladies, they've always been talented. We said that from day one, but we knew we had to go and learn how to win. And when you're playing against teams like Georgia Tech, you know, who are very senior laden, has a lot of experience, Wake Forest, who's very senior laden, and we were losing those games early because we were just so young. We were talented. We were just so young. And when all of a sudden, you know, my point guard, Georgia Amore, dynamite, is going to be a star. I mean, maybe he already is a star in this league. You know, we knew she was good enough and we knew she was fast enough. She just couldn't get it because she hadn't experienced it yet. And then all of a sudden she got a taste of success and it carried over. And then we became good. And then we won a game or two. Then all of a sudden you look at them and their demeanor is a little bit different. They walk into practice a little bit different. And that carries over to the games. And all of a sudden you're winning those close games as opposed to losing them. And that's the joy of coaching. You walk out and you watch them figure it out. You watch them develop as young women who are going to be leaders in their communities. And we may not remember the win, but we remember, you know, the feeling, and therefore they're going to be tremendous as they grow.
Kenny, how well do you think this league will do? We know NC State, we know Louisville. Those are self-made. But, I mean, there are a lot of programs like yourself that I can see you guys winning a couple ball games. I can see – you know, even a team like a Wake Forest hadn't been there in many years, maybe even finding a way. I mean, there's all sorts of differentials about this league, and Quentin Hillsman just said it's the best league in the country, so here's our chance to prove it.
Well, I think first and foremost, we're all going to be ecstatic to be not playing against each other. You know, it's a league where you beat up on each other. As you mentioned, you know, Wake Forest, you know, they have, you know, a senior laden team, a lot of experience. Q has a great team that they get out. They play an unorthodox style where they're going to, you know, press you and shoot threes. So I think there's a lot of teams. Courtney's team, you know, they've come on as of late and they really have figured it out. There's a lot of teams that can do damage, and I'm looking forward to be able to root for everyone. You know, and I think we're going to represent extremely well. I think we all have good matchups, not easy matchups, but good matchups where we can have success. But we have to go out and just prove it, and I'm looking forward to that.
Kenny, it's been fun listening this morning to all the coaches, both the men's side and the women's side, of how you kill time up and above worrying about the next game. What have you done to make life easier for your girls?
You know what? We had to have a balance between resting and not rusting. And so, you know, it was hard because normally we would be on spring break and we would give the kids a few days off. Give the coaches a few days off. Everybody come back recharged. But we had to kind of keep an eye on them just so that they wouldn't, you know, go crazy. Springtime in Blacksburg, you know, there's a lot of buzz and, you know, just people are just trying to break free a little bit. But we had to make sure our kids were going to practice. I told them, I said, hydrate, rest, and stay away from human beings. And just so that they can just be careful and not, you know, we've come this far and, you know, we've been very fortunate that we didn't have to go on pause as a team. And so just to continue, we're at the home stretch. Myself, you know, I got more into what my wife was actually going through. And, you know, I had to reintroduce myself to her, had a little bit of time. I have a 15-year-old daughter who I haven't been able to hug for probably like 2 months just because she's so active in sports and you know, being a 15-year-old that we were just trying to be careful. So many different things that you've had to go through and sacrifice, and these kids included. And I've been very, very, very proud of them and the way they've handled themselves through all this adversity.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun to watch this unfold. Your team is one of a handful I'm really excited for. And I know how hard you've worked to get Virginia Tech back to this. And well, I really appreciate the team effort you talked about with Mike Young too. And that's got to be very rewarding for Hokie fans to see both their programs back on this stage together.
Well, I tell you what, I'll say this about Mike, and I just want to say this about Mike. He's a fantastic person,
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to give back to him, you know, any little tidbit that I knew about Virginia Tech that would help him. And I didn't have that when I came in. And when Mike really came in, he's done a tremendous job of just, you know, combining the two programs and so welcoming in. And I'm looking forward to what they're going to do in the future. Wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful family man, and I appreciate him.
Coach, we wish you the best. Stay healthy.
All right, guys. I really appreciate you guys.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a Thursday show, number 344 in the makings. And the madness begins today. We got NCAA stuff happening. We got NIT stuff happening. We got baseball, lacrosse. I mean, you name a sport, it's happening this weekend. But it really gets cranked up today, Wes. It's going to be a blast.
Yep. Yep. First four this afternoon. Don't forget NC State Davidson tonight. NIT action involving the ACC over on ESPN. This is an anniversary of sorts that if you don't pay attention, this one will slide by you. 41 years ago today, we had somebody spell their name when they were introduced as the head coach.
First of all, it's KRZYZEWSKR.
How about that? 41 years
ago. And Kremen still can't pronounce it.
Yeah, can't spell it or pronounce it. Either one. Probably haven't misspelled in that new book he's coming out with, too. He'll just go with K and just keep it short and to the point. That turned out to be a pretty good hire.
Just think about that. Oh, and you remember, and I remember, even though we were younger people. This was panned.
Oh,
it ripped. Was a panned hire.
Ripped. Oh, ripped. Not panned.
Panned.
Ripped. And because you got to remember at the time on Tobacco Road, there was this guy by the name of Dean Smith, a pretty good coach, accomplished a few things, right? And then you got NC State over there hiring this Valvano guy. And people are like, how in the world are these guys going to compete with this guy, Dean Smith? And especially Duke. I mean, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Who? He came from where? And he's going to beat this league? Please. I mean, people ripped it sideways.
Oh.
And then you got the coach up there spelling his name, and you're like, oh, okay, great. This guy's going to beat Dean Smith? Yeah, right. Sure he is.
Yeah. I always like to add in this. It's really important to understand the patience of Tom Butters, Amen. The athletic director at Duke. And I cannot tell you the value of that patience. And every once in a while, I think it's important that get recognized, Pac.
That would be
because
true.
Because here's what's happened.
I have mentioned this to you before. People always worry about, man, the coach looked great at the press conference. None of that stuff matters. None of it. You know what?
Right.
You've got to be supportive of your guy. And the ACC has three of the ultimate examples. In fact, actually four I'd go. I'd go with Mike Krzyzewski because the first couple years got off to rocky starts, and he was going up against you know, the biggest names in the sport. And guess what? Tom Butters, to his credit, like you pointed out, said, no, he's the guy. Let him do his job. Turned out pretty good. I'd go to Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
You know, they hired one of their own in his first five or 6 years. You know, they weren't very good. But, hey, be patient. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. First couple years, man, what are we doing?
Mack Brown at Carolina the first time.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, Coach K, Frank Beamer, Mack Brown, Dabo Sweeney. How about Dean Smith? Right?
First couple years. You're right.
A holy mackerel. I mean, this league has the ultimate examples of guys who are hired and fan bases that went, what is going on? Or media people going, what? Are these people nuts? This guy can't win or she can't win or whatever. Hey, you've got to be patient. And this league has the best examples of any conference I know of that not only coaches that turned it around and won, but became arguably the best that you've ever seen. Seriously, I mean, that combination of Dean, K, Mack, Beamer, Dabo, there's five. And you go look it up of how they got started, and you'd gone, well, how'd they survive? Well, those guys that hired them, confident in what they did, understood the character, understood the big picture. Folks, get off their case, let them do their job, and the rest is history.
Here is the part I like to tell about this story in particular is the one that's the number-based story. Mike Krzyzewski won 55% of his games and went to NIT in 5 years at Army. He got the Duke job after a 9-17 overall record at Army in 1979-80. Can you imagine that? Duke hired a coach to replace Bill Foster, who 2 years earlier had taken Duke to the national championship game against Kentucky. Okay? Bill Foster left, go to South Carolina. Mike Krzyzewski gets hired after going 9-17 at Army. Okay? Right. And a 55% game winner. Okay? He won 17 games his first year, 10 games his second year, and 11 his third year. And Tom Butters still knew he had hired the right guy. Yep. That's the part about Mike Krzyzewski that story. If you watch the doc that Jay Billis and John Dahl and those folks put together when this network launched, if you've read the books, the idea of Mike Krzyzewski's success at Duke should never be forgotten in those first 3 years, Pac. I just think it's a most valuable lesson to people to follow the growth and build of a program.
And here they are walking off the ACC tournament, losing by about 100 to Virginia. And their fan base is sitting there going, what in the world are we doing? Because everybody around them is winning championships left and right. What are we doing? You know what? The guy knew what he was doing. That would include Tom Butters and include the guy himself, Mike Krzyzewski, and the rest is history. So in this day and age, I don't care what team you root for. You're sitting around complaining about your coach. Oh, he can't do this or she can't do that. You know what? You just got to be patient in this day and time. That's asking a lot, unfortunately, of a lot of folks in this day and age.
So, happy anniversary, Coach K. Happy anniversary to Duke and the ACC, for that matter.
Yeah.
41 years ago today, Mike Krzyzewski announced as a new basketball coach at Duke.
Yep.
How about that?
Pretty good.
How about that? Folks, I'm telling you, 344 has been a pretty good program here today. In the Pantheon of Packer and Durham, this might be one of our best ones, Mark.
All right, I would agree with that. So are you and I tag teaming against the BPI tonight with NC State because we both think the Pack's going to win and BPI thinks Davidson's going to win, right? We tag teaming today?
Yeah, I'm taking the Pack tonight.
I am too.
Wolfpack's in the house tonight.
Wolfpack wins tonight. I can assure you that we will be beating BPI up tomorrow on the program. So, and I don't want any flip-flops at the last second it went from 52% to Davidson, 51%. No, you're on the record. So we agree. NC State, Davidson, NIT tonight. First four gets cranked up when the big boys in the NCAA and women are getting ready to get cranked up over the weekend, Sunday, Monday, and great sports all over the place. Good time of the year.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.